knows us. And yet he loves us. Stop and think about that. We think, well, I'm not so bad. Well, you're just bad as anybody else. But the drunk on the street, the drug addict, the drug dealer, the lowest dregs of society, God loves them. Amen. And we should too. We don't have to love their sin, but we need to love them. Amen. And if we could just get a sense of how close, I really believe the Lord's, he could come tonight. I really believe it. This world is in such a shape. And everything is in place. Everything has been set in motion. You know, I preached a message at Esther, what time is it? She's here for such a time as this. Paul said, redeeming the time for the days are evil. Yeah. Amen? It's an evil time. But it's also an exciting time. Amen. When you stop and think that everything that the Bible has said needs to happen for the Lord to come and get his bride has already taken place. Yeah. And at any moment, we could hear the bridegroom shout, my love, my fair one, come away. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That'll just give you goosebumps.
Amen.
Could happen here in just a few moments.
Amen.
Could happen before the service is over.
Amen.
And it would be all right with me.
Yes.
Amen. This man has been a blessing to us. His wife is a blessing. We just got the more time we spend with him, the more we love him. Amen. And we just appreciate him. Appreciate God sending them our way. And Brother Irvin, you come tonight. You preach the house down like you've been doing.
And I'm trying to help somebody.
Help them, brother.
Amen.
And preachers need help too.
I'm trying to help somebody. Yes, I am. Good evening.
Good evening.
Amen. I've been trying to help you since God brought me over here. And when I leave here, I want you to be helped. Amen. And I want you to help somebody else. I don't want you to just, just take it and stow it. You know, just one, I'll have fun. Us two, and that'll do us four and no more. I want you to remember that the world around you is lost. I'm going to preach two messages to you tonight. Before I read my text, the Bible is full of questions. Amen. The Bible is filled with questions. And God put a question on the table thousands of years ago, and I want you to look at that with me tonight before I even go to my text. Turn to Psalms 116, verse 12. Psalms 116, verse 12. It's a heart-rending question, and I want you to memorize the verse. It's a personal verse. It's not something that you need to spend a lot of time discussing with someone else unless you offer them this verse, this question. In Psalms 116, in verse 12, the Bible reads as follows. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? The Bible says in Psalms 103, beginning in verse number 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It's a heart-rending question. And I believe it's a rhetorical question. I believe the answer is right there. God wants it all because he gave it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. When we talk about the coming of the Lord, and we talk about, we went to see the Christmas story today, which is portrayed so plainly. I mean, God has blessed us with so many things. Listen, if you're here tonight, you don't know a plan of salvation. Google has one of the best plans of salvation I have ever seen. Google it. Just tell it. You want the plan of salvation. It'll give it to you. Plain, just like we know it here in this Baptist church. God has given us so much. And so the question is, what shall I render? Are you here tonight and are you still picking and choosing what you want him to have? You're still deciding, trying to decide what you want to give God who gave you everything. He gave us his son. He gave us his son. The Lamb of God. The spotless Lamb of God. He gave us his son who bled, died for us on Calvary's tree. And so the question is, what shall I render? And I believe that if you understand what God is saying to you tonight, you're going to be different. You have to be different. Or you'll get worse. You got to be different or you're going to get worse. It doesn't get any plainer than this. Let me challenge you tonight. When you get home, when you're alone, when you're in bed, and even if you're married, when you stop talking to your spouse or whatever, I want you to allow this question, just like a good piece of candy. You know, when you eat a piece of hard candy and you don't chew it up, you just let it lay in the mouth and you let the juice get all down in here. Let this question sink all down. Let it get all down in him. Y'all know about him, right? Yeah. See, where I was born, they didn't say here. They call it him. Let it get all down in him. And I tell you right now, it will change everything about you one way or the other. Thank you so much for giving me your undivided attention for my first message. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 today. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians is one of the most powerful short letters in the Bible. It was written by the Apostle Paul from prison. It's one of the prison epistles. And it's only 6 chapters long. And if you haven't read the book of Ephesians lately, I would challenge you to read it even tonight. It wouldn't take you but just a little while to read all 6 chapters of the book of Ephesians. Let me tell you what it's about. The first 3 chapters of Ephesians are doctrinal chapters. They tell us who we are and all of the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. They tell us who we are and what we have. The last 3 chapters tell us what we should be doing because of who we are and what we have. You see, doctrine is always for the sake of practice. Say that with me. Doctrine is always for the sake of practice. It matters not how much you know. What matters is how much you do. Amen. Matters not how much you know, and most professing believers in America are doing too little. Most of the church in most of the work in most churches is done by a handful of people. Amen. And I want to challenge you tonight. That needs to change right here at Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church. There's stuff to be done. And if you don't believe me, all you got to do is come and ask this preacher. Amen. He's got some assignments already for you. The book of Ephesians, the last 4 chapters of Ephesians has at least 36 directives giving the believer his responsibilities, how he is to behave in his conduct according to his individual calling. So Ephesians begins in heaven, but it ends up at home. It ends up in every step that I make. That's what it's all about. The last 3 chapters of Ephesians is designed to be a step by step by step by step director, guide. And so tonight we're in Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm gonna focus primarily on verses 13 through 17, but I want to read some select verses from Ephesians 5. Perhaps I'll read most of it. Amen. Maybe I'll read verses 1 through 17. You do like the reading of the Word of God, right? In Ephesians 5, the Bible says, "Be ye therefore." Anytime you see a therefore, you got to know what it's there for. And the therefore in chapter 5 is because of what had already been established in chapter 4. I won't take us back there tonight, but perhaps you'll get curious enough to go back there. But the Bible says, be ye therefore followers, that is, imitators of God. Notice this, as dear children, as good children, not complaining, not whining, as dear children, and walk or live in love as Christ also has loved us. Notice this, we're to do it as he loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Our lives is to be a living sacrifice. Our lives is to be a living sacrifice. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Notice there's a but in verse number 3. But fornication and all uncleanness. I want you to allow these words to scrape the bottom of the barrel tonight. As sure as I'm sitting here, as sure as I'm standing here tonight, somebody needs to hear this. Uncleanness. You say, well, what is that? It's uncleanness. Amen. Uncleanness or covetousness. Constantly wanting what somebody else has. And the Lord has blessed me. He's allowing me to go a lot of places and see a lot of things. And I'm thankful for what everybody has. Amen. But I've got enough. I'm thankful. Amen. Covetousness. Let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. By the way, we're the saints. Amen. We're the saints of God. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. By the way, let me ask you, are you thanking God enough? Are you thanking God enough? Are you thanking him enough? It's the fruit of the lip. It's the fruit of the lip. Are you thankful? For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Notice verse number 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You know what God is saying here? Don't let anybody tell you that it's not all that serious. And there's a lot of people in churches nowadays, they'll tell you that. So you know what? It's not. You know, McNeil and some of these other guys like Pastor Dennis, these guys are narrow-minded. These guys are narrow-minded. And it's just, I mean, after all, it's 2019 now. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ was not born in New York. He doesn't carry a smartphone. Amen. He doesn't have a social security number. He's the same today and yesterday and forever. He is the great I am. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the morning star. He's the lily of the valley. Amen. He's all that and more. He's not changed. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things, but listen, someone will try to talk you down. So listen, you just need to relax. You don't need to be all that high and mighty about it. You don't need to be all that upset about it. You don't have to be a fanatic. Well, I believe you do. Yes, sir. I and the wife over there are two of them. In fact, we've been known as them. Amen. Oh, no, don't ask them. Amen. You know how they are. Well, that's okay with me. We've been left out of a lot of folks' company. Oh, no, please don't ask her, amen? Don't ask her. And she'll tell him, amen? Notice what the Bible says in verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers or partners with them. For you were, notice this, you were sometimes darkness. But now are you light in the Lord. Walk or live as children of light. Amen. We could go home right now. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, but if you walk in the light, as he's in the light, you have fellowship one with the other. The Bible says in verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit, notice this, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proven what is acceptable. That is demonstrating what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no unfellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little hands, what you touch. You are God's purchased possession. He bought you with his blood. It's not up to you to just decide what you want to do. But rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. But all things that are reproved or exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore God said, which is a quote from Isaiah chapter 26 and Isaiah 60. Wherefore God said, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Maybe you need to wake up tonight. Maybe this is just another service for you. If you're not careful, by Friday morning, you'll forget we had revival. I'm just being honest. If you're not careful, by Friday morning, you'll forget that we were here Saturday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. And I'm seeing some of the same faces. And I'm glad. It's for a purpose. God wants to use us, folks. And God says, awake thou that sleepest. It's time to change. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Notice verse number 15. Amen. Verses 15, verses 14 through 17 is primarily what we want to talk about tonight. Verse 15 is my text verse. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, making the best of every second, of every minute, of every hour, of every day. Someone tonight, and I think it was Pastor and someone else, was talking about the rapture and about the Lord coming, and perhaps today. Listen, I don't want God to catch me napping spiritually. I don't want God to catch me in the wrong place. I don't want him to catch me doing the wrong thing. I'm not talking about the loss of my salvation. I just don't want to be caught that way. How about you? I just don't want to be caught that way. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The title of my message tonight is, see then that you walk circumspectly. A warning from God in a day when Christian values are eroding. And what's happened is the devil has taken a bucket of gray paint, and he's come to the church like Grant went through Richmond. But there are no gray areas in God. And so Christian values are eroding. A lot of folks aren't quite as on fire as they used to be. A lot of folks are cooling off nowadays. And so I'm even having folks past ask me, what's wrong with him? Amen. What's the matter with you and your wife? Amen. Well, I'll be honest with you. The zeal of God is gnawing on me. I don't mind you knowing that. You have any zeal? By the way, if you don't have any zeal for God, you got some zeal for something, because there is something that excites everybody to know in. Everybody gets excited about something. And if his name ain't Jesus, then it's something else. I'm trying to help somebody. And let me tell you something. When God's people get more excited over bulls and dogs, I don't know why all these sports teams are named after animals, but when God's people get more excited over ravens and eagles and dogs and ducks and bears than they do the Lamb of God, there is a problem. And let me tell you something. Most Christians are being rocked to sleep from the pulpit. And they're setting up doing like this. I've been in church. I was in one church. I was preaching about 20 minutes. And the man sitting right up front did one of these numbers. I told him, sir, if that's your code of praise, let me know. And I'll praise God with you. Amen. But I'm not getting ready to quit, because your wrist is itching. I'm not quitting until I get on. Amen. Amen. Tell him, if you don't like that, come up here and get me. Amen. Amen. Usually when you see me pull my watch off in the pulpit, it's not because I'm getting ready to quit. Amen. It's just because I'm fidgety. I'm a fidgety preacher. A warning from God. In a day when Christian values are eroding, there's no gray areas with the Lord. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Circumspect is caution. Circumspect is heed. And the Bible is filled with heed. The word circumspect means unwilling to take a risk. And we must not take any risk with God's holy standard. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. God is a plumb line God. And I know we have some builders here, and most of you know what a plumb line is. But for those of you who don't know, turn to Amos chapter 7. Amen. Turn to Amos chapter 7. I hope you know how to find the book of Amos. Amen. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Amen. Amen. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. How many of you here can quote the names of the 66 books from Genesis through? Raise your hand. Amen. I want the rest of you to know them by tomorrow night. Amen. Tomorrow night, we're going to quote them. Amen. Tomorrow night. And if you don't know them, I don't want you to cheat. Just open up your Bible and read them, but I want you to learn them. Amen. Let me tell you something. This song is cute about using the Bible for a roadmap. But the first time I really heard this and really understood exactly what they were saying, there's a group of Mennonite kids from Goshen, Indiana, who loves me to death. They absolutely love me. I believe there's 12 kids in that family. Most of them are grown up now. But I had open heart surgery in 2006. I had surgery on Monday, and those kids were in my house, in the corner, on Saturday, with their banjos and so forth. And I was hurting. Let me tell you, I was hurting for certain. And they were singing about this Bible for a roadmap, and it went into everything that I've got. It's serious than a stroke. And let me tell you something, either it's true for you or it's just a jingle. And I don't believe your pastor was a jingling man. I believe he was singing him and his wife from their heart. I believe they were trying to bless the church. I believe they were trying to do something special for revival. And my friend, if you don't get that, then I'm telling you, you need to get something. I don't believe we're here playing church. I'll be honest with you. If I thought this was just another meeting, I'd drive out of here tonight in my Highlander. I'd head back west. I'm just being honest with you. It's the kind of guy I am. I'd call the pastor on the way. Tell the pastor, I'm gone. I walked out of a church in Iowa. Amen. I went out there. I was called. I got up early in the morning. Left my wife at home. Got up early so I could be up there for Sunday school. And I got there. And let me tell you, that church was so quiet you could hear a rat wetting on cotton. And they were having a carry-in meal. Some people call them a potluck dinner. And so the whole time I'm preaching, and everybody's quiet. Amen. You could hear them going in downstairs, and you could smell the chicken and the macaroni and cheese and the green bean casserole. You could smell it coming up through the floor. And I gave the invitation, and they were white-knuckled in that church. And it grieved my spirit. Grieved me. So I walk downstairs after the service, and they sound like a bunch of hens clucking down there. I mean, there's no way it sounded like the same crowd. That same quiet crowd upstairs was clucking like turkeys. Everybody. And I got upset. I'm not kidding. And somebody said, "Won't you come on and get in front of the line, Pastor?" I said, "I'm sorry, I don't want any." I said it loud. This is why. I said, "Something is wrong here." I says, "You're more excited over dead chickens than you are the Lamb of God. I don't know why you wanted me here today. I'm gone. I'll stop up the road and get me a hooper." Some people call them whoppers. Amen. I got in my little 91 Nissan and I took off. Amen. Out of here. Look at Amos chapter 7, verse 7. God is a plumb line God. I got too much to say tonight, Brother Joe. Amen. Notice what the Bible says in Amos 7:7. The Bible says, "Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line with a plumb line in his hand." That's pretty straight, isn't it? That's as straight as you can get. "And the Lord said unto me, Amos, or McNeil, or Dennis, or Adam, or whatever your name happens to be. He called by name, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore." Our God is a plumb line God. And you know what? We need to get the high places down. We need to get the low places up. The crooked need to be made straight. The rough need to be made smooth. So we can make a highway for King Jesus. Amen. Amen. We need to make a highway for King Jesus. circumspect. God is a plumb line God. It's vigilance. Turn back to Ephesians 5. It's safe. It's discreet. It's deliberate. Amen. Notice the last part of Ephesians 5:15. The Bible says, not as fools, but as wise. A person who lacks judgment or sense is a fool. A person who lacks judgment or sense. And it just doesn't make sense, amen, to say you know the word of God or say you know that it's true and whatever and then just kind of not do it. Right. Just doesn't make sense. It's just poor judgment. He says that he knows what's right, but he's easily deceived to do wrong. There's something wrong with that. That's poor judgment. A wise person does right because it's right. He has deep convictions, just like a big tree has deep roots. A person with deep convictions is not easily snookered. The devil is in the snookering business. And the Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Deep conviction. We're talking commitment. Commitment to the cause of Jesus Christ. Like the ant. The ant is a committed little creature. You can step on him or whatever you want to do. You can spray him, whatever. But if he ain't dead, he keeps right on trying to accomplish his goal. It doesn't matter what you do. He's got one thing in mind. Winter is coming. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:16, be ye holy, for I am holy. God is talking about being consecrated, living clean. Amen. Over here tonight from this book, from this powerful book, I want to give you seven reasons why you should live so carefully in every area of your life every day. Reason number one, why should I live so circumspectly, so carefully? Reason number one is because the Bible says so. The Bible says so. It says so right here. It says so right here in Ephesians 5:15. There's no better reason than that. The Bible says see to it. In other words, it's your own individual responsibility to be real, real careful. And every one of us in here tonight have some things that need to change. Amen. Anybody in here ever guilty of talking too much? I want to raise my hand. Talk too much sometimes? Anybody eating too much? Amen. Anybody not giving enough? Not giving some time when God says give? I'm trying to help somebody. Anybody in here ever guilty of having a little nasty attitude around home when the Holy Spirit is telling you that you need to get your act together, amen, but your face is all messed up? Right. Amen. Anybody here guilty of not doing a good job of cleaning up the washroom when you the last one in? Amen. See then that you walk circumspectly. Live circumspect because the Bible says so. Do you know the word? Are you familiar with the word? Can you quote the names of the books of the Bible? Are you standing on God's word? Obedience is better than sacrifice. The songwriter says trust and obey. Look at number 204. We like to sing this song, don't we? Trust and obey. We sing some serious words from these hymns. And there's a reason why churches like Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church have a certain type of music. Churches like this have Christ-centered music. And listen, the devil is trying to get us all to change. But there's some of us that's just dumb. Amen. And we're just not going to change. We just keep hanging on to songs like these. The only problem I got with it is it's not changing enough of us. Listen, folks, we need something else besides bragging rights. Right. Yeah, it's good to say, well, yeah, we still sing the old hymns, but what good are they doing us? Amen. If it's not going to change us, then we might as well start doing the James Brown or something. Now, notice what it says here. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who would trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt, nor a fear, nor a sigh, nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. This is deep. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who would trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says, we'll do. Where he sends, we'll go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Those are the songs that we're singing. And folks, listen, we need to do something about it. I believe it's as much sin to sing a lie as it is to tell a bold-faced lie. I'm going to be honest with you. I bought some pretty decent recliners. I love recliners. I can't wait to get home, amen, so I can sit in one of my recliners. These are even my sofa reclines, amen. But I'll tell you something. I would rather be not only in Northeast Maryland, but I would rather be in Tupelo, Mississippi tonight than to be on the recliner if this is where God wants me, and I know I'm right where God wants me. Number two, we need to live circumspect because of the old nature. We need to be careful because the old nature is battling, is it not? The old nature is battling. You know, I like to talk about eating because, eating is one of the avenues through which we can easily be tempted. It's easy to eat too much. It's easy to eat too much. Eat too much and then eat some more. And then after that, eat a little more. And while you're as full as you can get you a little more. I'm trying to help somebody. And if you're giving in that, you'll give in somewhere else. Am I helping anybody? I'm trying to help somebody. The old nature. Listen, there's a battle raging inside of us. We are not inherently good. Doing right is against the grain. Listen, we're toe up from the flow up. Turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Mark 7. My friend, you won't just happen to be holy. Amen? You won't just have, listen, if you're holy, it's going to be on purpose. If you're right with God, it's going to be because you purposed to do so. Daniel did not wait until he was in Babylon to decide that he was not going to eat the king's meat. You can't wait until you're tempted. You got to know in advance. It can't be perchance. The Bible says in Luke chapter 7 and beginning in verse number 20, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. You know, the disciples had been talking about eating without washing hands and all this other stuff. Notice verse 21, far from within, out of the heart of men proceed, number one, evil thoughts, adultery, fornications, murders, theft. This is Jesus talking. Covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness. Watch this one, an evil eye. You ever give anybody the evil eye? Of course you do. Especially when you get behind the wheel of a car. You give them the evil eye. You look at them like you could kill them. Yes, you do. I've done it myself. Even sweet little old ladies turn into flesh monsters behind the wheel of a car. You strap an 80-year-old into a car, amen. Amen. With an overhead cam in it. Amen. And she'll get it on. Blasphemy. Proud. Foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Amen? Number one, we need to live circumspect because the Bible says so. Number two, because of the old nature. Let me tell you something about the old nature. And listen, you have to train the old nature. In the book of 1 Samuel, in Samuel chapter 17, David is seen running toward his problem. Amen? And let me tell you, he didn't have a sword and he didn't have a spear. But he ran toward a man who was almost 10 feet tall with a slingshot. But the Bible says David chose him 5 smooth stones. These stones had been made smooth by the sands in the brook. Amen? And a smooth stone would fly straighter in trajectory. I like to apply it this way. Stone number one, Bible study. You need 5 stones every day. Listen, every time I meet a Christian who's out of fellowship, I start checking stones and something is always missing. Stone number one, Bible study. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Stone number two, prayer. Amen. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'm talking daily. This has to be daily. 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 These are giant killing stones. Giant killing stones. Stone number 3, church attendance. Hebrews 10:25. Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Stone number 4. Okay, witnessing, Acts 1:8, and you shall be witnesses unto me. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and he has.
Right.
Amen. We need to be talking to people. You say, well, it scares me to death. We'll do it anyway.
Right.
Amen. There's a lot of things that scare you to death, amen, but you do it anyhow.
Right. Yeah.
Now, listen, if you're here tonight and you've never handed out a gospel tract, I want to help you. I'm going to show you how to get started. Amen. Tomorrow, as soon as it's daylight, take a gospel tract and sneak up on a parked car, put it under the windshield wiper, and run before they catch you. Amen. Got to get you started. Stone number 5, giving. Giving. Time, talent, and treasure. 5 smooth stones. Every Christian. Listen, these are the basic fundamentals of Christianity. Listen, if you're not slinging those 5 stones, you've already lost the battle. Listen, when David faced Goliath, what David did that day was what David did every day. David told Saul, he said, listen, your servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear. Amen. And I went out after him and caught him by his beard and smote him. And he said, this big uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them. David was accustomed to facing things in the name of the Lord. David knew the word of God. And my friend, listen, you got to be slinging your stones every day. Listen, in those areas, you are not. You just are not. You just are not. You just cannot afford to be a slacker. 5 smooth stones. I'm asked all the time, Pastor, can I talk to you? Sure you can. Well, Pastor, this, that, and the other. Are you reading your Bible every day? Well, not every day, Pastor. Let's stop right there. Let's just stop right there. Yeah, Pastor, you don't understand. No, I do understand. Don't tell me that. I do understand some things. You can't tell me you can't read it every day. You can read something. I'm trying to help somebody. You can do it every day. You say, well, I don't have time to do it every day. You got as much time as I do.
Yeah.
Get your priorities straight. And listen, and read systematic. Don't play the old devil's rule. You know, if you're not careful, you won't know where to read. Start at Genesis. Amen. Read 2 chapters and put a marker there. Start at Matthew. Read a couple of chapters. Read a couple more chapters until you finish Matthew. Read Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Keep on reading. Read it systematically. Reread it, read it, reread it, underline it, memorize it, live circumspect, amen, because of the abundant life. That's reason number 3. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy, but I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. It is the will of God that his children have abundant peace and abundant joy and be an abundant blessing. Listen, we have the words of life. And we need to share them with the world around us. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. The Bible says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Reason number 4. Why should I live so carefully? I need to live circumspect because of the Great Commission. Worldwide evangelism. It is my responsibility to do something about trying to evangelize the entire world. Are you involved? There's many avenues to which you can be involved. Amen? There are many avenues to which you can be involved. Over the last 25 years, the wife and I have prayed and sweated and cried and went without and worked sick and everything else. And one of our prayer requests to God was help us, help us, help us, help us to further the ministry of the radio program Unshackled. When we joined the staff of Pacific Garden Mission in 1995, I believe there was 2 or 3 versions of Unshackled. When God promoted us, amen, to retirement in 2018, there was 15 versions of Unshackled, one being the Mandarin language. me and one other person in particular, a lady who wrote the script for Unshackled for many, many years, we prayed that God would open up something in the Mandarin language. Unshackled has been on the radio for 69 years. And it's going strong. Amen? Worldwide evangelism. We need to be circumspect. The Bible says, go ye therefore into all the world. Starting right where you're at. Jerusalem, Judea. By the way, if you're not doing anything here, amen, in Northeast Maryland, then God don't want you in China. You need to do something here. Amen. And now, number five, you need to live circumspect because the world needs to see Jesus Christ in each of us. The Bible tells us in Matthew 5:13 that we're the salt of the earth. In Matthew 5:16, the Bible tells us that we are the light of the world. Amen. What a blessing. These are powerful resources. Salt and light. Number six, we need to live circumspectly because of the death angel. You never know when you're going to die. I want to finish well. Don't you, Pastor? I want to finish well. Yeah, I don't want to finish just in some questionable situation. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. I'm sorry, Mark 13. Turn to Mark 13. Mark is an interesting gospel. Mark 13, beginning in verse number 32. In Mark 13, beginning in verse number 32, the Bible says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Here it is. Take heed. That's what we're preaching about tonight. Heed. Circumspect. Vigilance. Take heed. Watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, to every man his work, and to every man his work, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning that's coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Amen. Watch. You need to walk circumspect because of the death angel. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto a man once to die, and after this the judgment. By the way, you don't have to be sick to die. You don't have to be old to die. It just has to be time and you're gone. Amen. I'm sick of people asking, what happened to so-and-so? Say, well, he died. What did he die of? What difference does that make? I mean, a lot of cases, it really don't make no difference. He's dead, amen. Say, well, I saw him yesterday. He looked like he felt okay, amen. Sure he did. By the way, the death angel doesn't take cancellations. Amen. You don't tell him, so listen, come back in a year or two, amen. There's a couple of people in the Bible who had this experience and they wish they had died, amen. I think it was Manasseh's father, wasn't it? Number seven, we need to live circumspect because heaven is our home. We need to be pressing onward and upward. We should be different as disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, turn back there, verses 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Look at Ephesians 5, amen, verse number 17. In Ephesians 5, 17, the Bible says, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I am sick of people telling me that they don't know God's will for their life. Yeah. First and foremost, it is the will of God for you to be saved.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
And number two, to live for Him. That's not complicated.
No, it's not.
And to live for Him. You ever hear that song, Living for Jesus? Amen. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do. yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. My Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou and thy atonement, this give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. We sing those kind of songs. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah. You're here tonight and you don't know Christ as Savior. Say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I'm not sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. I've been putting it off for years. But I want to be sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. I want someone to take the Bible and help me. Anyone like that? Listen, male or female, we can help you. Amen? We want you to know we can help you. We are here to help you tonight. Anyone like that? I want to pray for you. You're here tonight and God has spoken to your heart. Amen? About being careful. And listen, we need to be careful. We need to be so careful. The Bible calls it circumspect. That's why we stick with that King James Bible. Amen. Yeah. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspect. I said, Pastor, I want to be more circumspect. I want to pray for you. Slip up your hand and put it down. Anybody like that? Amen. All over the house. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, for your grace. We thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. We thank you for the many, Lord, who raise their hands. Truth is, Lord, we need you, Lord. We all need you, Lord. Lord, draw us closer. Draw us closer. Draw us closer to thee, O Lord. Lord, help us to know that the portrayal of the Christmas story and all these other things is not just for entertainment. But, Lord, it's designed to draw us closer. Lord, we went to see the tabernacle yesterday. God, it's designed to draw us closer, O Lord. Help us, we pray. Help us, we pray. Lord, help us to do the right thing and help us to make decisions for thee now during this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.